Commission. And we're going to be talking about becoming a kingdom revolutionary. I say to you all the time, you're history makers and rule shakers because that's what you are in Christ. Our main text today will be Acts chapter 26. Can you follow along with me, please, this morning? Paul is sharing his testimony with Felix, King Agrippa. He's sharing with political leaders about how he came to be who he was. While he was thus occupied, he was persecuting the church. I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. At midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven. How many are grateful you've seen the light from heaven? His name is Jesus. Brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew language, God knows your language. He knows how to talk to you. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Interesting. Paul, the Lord said, every time you touch one of my children, you're touching me. It's hard for you to kick against the goats. So I said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, Yeshua, whom you are persecuting. But now rise and stand on your feet. For I've appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things you've seen and of the things I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Father, we thank you for your word. We rejoice and celebrate, God, your word that feeds our souls, that nourishes our faith, that opens our eyes, that lights our path, that delivers our bondages, that heals our hurts, that reveals your lordship, that transforms us to be like you. We thank you for your word. Anoint your servants, your word, and your people. Capture this moment for your kingdom, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I love as Paul shares the remarkable conversion of his life. I just want to say a couple of things. I prophesied this morning that in these next few months and years, God is going to apprehend by supernatural mechanisms. He's going to apprehend a host of terrorists, whether they be cultural terrorists in this country that are at war through a liberal humanistic theology, that are at war constantly against Christianity, or whether they be physical terrorists in the Muslim culture. Wherever they are, God's going to take some of the wildest, most ungodly, most terrorizing people, and in one instant make them terrorists for God, terrorists against hell. Famous basketball player, I don't want to keep saying his name, I won't say his name, came to church and we were talking a few weeks ago. I just said to him, you know, God, I feel like God's called you to the ministry. This guy who can't stop talking just went really quiet. God's going to take people like that the whole world knows his name, and in a moment, pull them into their real destiny. So get ready, get ready. So there's some things here. We wage war against others, okay? We hate in other people what we hide in us. So part of Paul's conflict was he was expressing a hostility toward people because he was in conflict about what God was trying to do in him. So that's an important point, because when we allow the Holy Spirit to show us why something upsets us. See, if something upsets us, it's either because God wants to deal with that in us or we're supposed to change it. See, God doesn't say, okay, I'm upsetting you for the rest of your life. Be blessed. Amen. Pastor, I'm upset. Well, that means something. It means God's either trying to deal with something in you or you're supposed to deal with something out there. If it upsets you, there's something more. The problem is never the problem, okay? Okay, so it begins there, And then God just manifests himself all in one paragraph, just beautiful. People often persecute in others what they permit for themselves, okay? First point, every encounter you have with your God will always be purposeful. So every encounter with God, so today, how many of you felt at some measure, in some level, you felt God's presence today in your life when you're worshiping? We're a church that really pursues not just the feeling part of it, but really the manifestation where God's presence becomes so undeniably real that our own physical senses register it, okay? We feel it. So you'll never have an encounter with God where God didn't want to do something. Every encounter in his word, in his worship, in prayer, every encounter you ever have with God, God has a direction. God has a beautiful purpose in it. And so this is a purposeful visitation from God to this man, this terrorist. And the same in our lives, God visits us. The Bible says the revelation brings transformation. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with unveiled faces behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image. And so God said to him, the things you're seeing are changing you. The things I'm showing you are changing you. Amen. Information makes you smarter, but revelation makes you better. Revelation is God's word awakened, God's will made known, God's unveiling. When you're not just your mind sees it, but when your heart sees it. Comes alive, speaks to you. It imprints the will of God in your heart. So he's having this encounter, and God, so we're in encounter church, because I believe more can happen in a intense season of worship. God can do more in that season than you hearing 1,000 sermons here. Although I honor and preach the word of God here, I believe encountering God changes people. And what the world does not need is the church trying to be cute. I was watching somebody, it was a young preacher sitting on a stool, and if I would have been there, I would have walked up and kicked the stool out of his head. I said, save that for your 60s. You're trying to be too cute. You with me? We're trying to fit in the culture, but it's okay to speak the language of the culture. It's not okay to manifest the glory of the kingdom. Y'all with me? We're here to show people Jesus. To show people Jesus. Signs, wonders, and miracles. We'll talk about that tonight, prophecy. It's amazing the things we've seen God do in prophecy. Unbelievable. So he's having this encounter. And it is good. Someone say it's good. Okay? It is good. It's wonderful. It's purposeful. It's life-changing. And it is making Saul become Paul, is making him into someone he's never been, but he's always supposed to be. Now, this is a very important point. In your lifetime, you have two sets of eyes. And your natural eyes see things the way they are, but your spiritual eyes will always see things the way God wants them to be. And here's a terrorist, and I promise you, nobody in the church, nobody thought he was redeemable. One guy, the son of encouragement, Barnabas. But everyone else said, man, that's the worst, the worst, the worst, the worst. But God saw him differently. And when we look at the world, when I was prophesying over Paris, I didn't prophesy about all the things that are wrong there. I prophesied about what God imagined when he created that city. When we look at people, God help us to see them like you see them. To see what they were made to be. Second point, you, my friend, are a history maker, a world shaker, and a kingdom revolutionary. The Lord used the word turn. He said, you will turn people from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. The word turn in the Bible is epistrepho. Epistrepho means a revolution, to reverse, to convert, to return, to bring back. So it means a full circle. It means to make something be what it was supposed to be. We are revolutionaries for God. You could have been born in the dark Middle Ages. You could have been born before Christ. You could have been born 100 years ago. If you're 100 years old, I apologize. But you could have been born at any time. Why are you born now? You're a chosen generation. You're God's dream team. And in the kingdom of God, the great last move of God, listen to me, is not a move of preachers. I'm not against preachers. I is one. The last great move of God is when the body awakes. My destiny is to help you find your destiny. My gift is to unlock your gifts. My purpose is to help you find your purpose. And God's last great move of God will be when the whole body of Christ arises. And they begin to shine and radiate the glory of God in every realm of life, in family, in business, in government, in education, arts, and media. They began to be, shine and become radiant ambassadors of God's heavenly light and love. That's what God has for you. You're part of the last great move of God by your birthright. Someone say, I'm a revolutionary. Lots of people talking about revolution, this and that. Someone was asking me, in fact, I had a minister, he came up with about 10 things. The reason why we're not having revival in America, here's 10 reasons. Well, if we're going to get into that, you know, there's probably 1,000 things. But I said there's one thing. Here's what we need. Our divided nation can only be healed by a united church. And I'm so proud of CFTN, where we have 100 plus nationalities here. When we are a rainbow, we're not. I'm so proud the church doesn't look like me. Because I'm not just white, I'm pale white. I mean, I'm so white, I'm invisible, I'm translucent. You see my grandsons, you know, they're like, phew, white. I'm so glad the church looks like heaven. And there's, listen to me, you have to get this. We can't conquer the strongholds in our culture as long as they exist in the behavior of the church. So thank you, all my Hispanic friends. Thank you, all my beautiful black brothers and sisters. Thank you, my Native American friends, my Asian friends. Thank you, my Anglo, my white. Thank you, ever, no matter what color you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We are giving the devil a black eye. We're making history. Come on, we're shaking things up by love. Mary and I was ministering a few months ago in just a great church. But Mary and I, we always noticed right away. We said, this church is all white. I feel so uncomfortable. I said, well, I am white. But I'm so used to my family. You with me? And I'm so used to what God wants. We're making history by tearing down the walls of racism. And we're doing that here. It's big. It's a big thing. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, speaking of himself. Jesus is the light of the world. Isn't that true? Then he said, oh, by the way, you're the light of the world. What? Me? We can only reflect what light we stand in. Jesus said, come on, that was better than you're acting on. If we keep hanging around Jesus, it was so fun to love French people. Smiling. Just being so, they're used to obnoxious Americans. We were just being loving, kind Americans. Nothing could, they couldn't offend us. One person, I promise you, for half an hour tried to offend me. I mean, just da-da-da-da-da-da. I just was unoffendable. You with me? Now, I could have been offended, and I could have whooped him. Just saying, in case you're wondering. No, I'm sorry, Lord. I shouldn't have said that. I did feel like a giant in France. You know, I didn't see a lot of tall people, so I felt like, I'm really big here. I'm big in France. In both senses. In three different realms. Okay. So Jesus said, you're the light of the world. Isaiah says it like this. It's your time to get up. Arise and shine, your light has come. Come on now. It's not about us, it's about Jesus. His desire for our cities, our world, our nation, this generation, his desire is to reach them, to love them, to free them, to manifest his goodness to them. And he could only do that through us. Arise and shine, your light has come. And the glory of God's risen upon you. Darkness covers the world without God. Gross or intense darkness to people, but the Lord shall arise upon you. His glory shall be seen upon you. Now, here's a couple of points. I've never been interested in becoming an expert on the evils of darkness. I'd rather be a citizen and a scholar of the light. So people say, Pastor, what about the last days? I got good news for you. We win. Jesus wins. What about the shaking? Yeah, I know, but we win. And all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Okay, point number three. We've been delivered from the power of darkness so we can deliver others from the power of darkness to the light. We've been delivered from the power of Satan and to the power of God so we can deliver others from the power of Satan to the power of God. Now, this is an important point. God said to Saul, everything I'm doing for you, I commission you, I authorize you, I empower you, and I send you to do for others. Anybody here been set free from alcohol? I commission you to set people free for the rest of your life from alcohol. Anybody here been set free from drugs? Come on. God didn't just set you free so you'd be free. God made you a revolutionary. That you might find in this drug-bound society, you might be a bright light helping people come out of the misery and bondage of drugs. Anybody here been rescued from depression, from suicide, from compulsive behavior, from heartache? Come on, if God's done anything for you, he can... You're gonna start a revolution! Everything you've seen and everything you've experienced, you're going to pass on to others. Colossians 1 says, God has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his Son, the Son of his love. God has put us on this planet to be difference makers. And don't let the devil, a few months ago I was praying, had this remarkable vision. I saw a woman sitting like somewhere in the middle, and she was old woman. Her hair was up. I could tell she was maybe in her 80s. And the Lord said, this was 30 years ago. And I saw her in the pew, and while she's praying, she saw a great move of God come back to this church. And she said, God, thank you for what you're going to do in this church in the future. Well, after she saw that, the church went down to 60 people here. We came in 6 years ago. God blessed it. Now it's revival. But part of what we have now is because of people like that that prayed that then. She is a revolutionary. Come on. Revolutionaries think differently. You with me? Revolutionaries think differently. They refuse to accept the status quo, especially when the status quo is oppressive and it's not God's best. And they think, how could things be? What could God do? They allow their minds to be opened. They allow the heavens to be opened in their minds. They think differently. They pray differently. Why can't God save every student at your school or every person at your workplace or every person on your block? Why not? The Lord said, Paul, you're going to, every place you go, You're going to be a revolutionary. You're going to be a revolutionary. Romans 5 says, by one man's offense, Adam, Romans 5:17, death reigned because of that offense. Much more those who receive abundance of grace. Everybody say abundance of grace. And the gift of righteousness, say the gift of righteousness, will reign in life through the one, Christ Jesus. Now this is an important point. We reign in life by righteousness and grace. Righteousness in the Bible is our identity in Christ, who he's made us to be. Your identity unlocks your destiny. And so the Lord said to Saul, you're going to bring people out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, out of Satan's power. Please listen to me. The moment you got born again, Satan lost his authority over your life. The only authority he has is what you grant him. He's a Lord, small L, a God, small g, of darkness. He only has authority in darkness. And he only has authority in our life if there's darkness in us. You with me? Satan is defeated. The only place he rules by deception, not by authority. So we've been set free. Everybody say, I'm free. Because the devil, you'll hit a couple bumps in life when the devil will say, you can't be free from this, but he's a liar. So here's what he said. You're going to bring people out of the darkness into light, out of sin. And then he said this, out of sin into inheritance. In the last days, there'll be a generation. Now listen to me. Christ doesn't have to come and die again. We don't need a new Holy Spirit. We don't need a better Bible. But we need a clearer, more distinct revelation of our inheritance from the Bible. Because the last day church is going to arise because the Bible says, she will become glorious and beautiful. Anything that fulfills its purpose gives God glory. We're going to become glorious by fulfilling our purpose by receiving our inheritance. Now, this is so important. There are things God wants to do through you, but he can't do them until he gets things to you. And your inheritance releases realms. And so Paul was on a quick study, an advanced accelerated course to know everything God had given him. Philemon verse 6 says this, I pray, it's a prayer, I pray that the communication of your faith may become effectual, energious by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you in Christ. When you find out what's in you, you get powerful. When you find out who Christ has made you to be, the power switch gets turned on. You are the generation God's awakening. You are the Joshua generation. You are the restoration generation, the revelation generation. You're the dream team that God's. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people, that you might manifest the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God's waited for you. The world's waiting for you. Creation is in trembling. It's birth pains waiting for you. This is the time when the church arises and shines, exhibiting the Christ life, exhibiting purpose, walking in our inheritance. You're going to go, you're going to walk in a realm of authority before this year is over that the devil can't believe. You're going to take authority over things that have provoked your family for decades or generations. We're going to change this city by not accepting things the devil's trying to do, but by declaring things that heaven has determined to do. Everything's going to change, baby. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Change is here. Change is for now. Come on, someone give God a shout of praise to the church. Come on, come on, someone give God a shout of praise. I'm going to count to three. When I count to three, I want you to stand to your feet and give God a shout that says, God, I want what you want. I'm signing up. I'm ready to be a revolutionary. I'm ready to be a history maker and a world shaker. My time has come in the name of Jesus Christ. One, two, three, come on. Come on! Jesus! Jesus! Come on! And it's all because of Jesus.
And it's all because of Jesus.
I'm free, I'm free, I'm free.
I'm free, I'm free, I'm free.
And it's all because of Jesus.
And it's all because of Jesus.
It's all because of Jesus.